And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? A little bit of technical difficulties there. Had to unmute myself there, but hope y'all are doing well. Hope y'all are having a great night, great evening, great day, whenever y'all are tuning in, whether live or on demand. We are RBLR Bucks. We are back. I know we took a little bit of a hiatus there for a week or two. Time kind of flies by, but it's the off season, man. You know, there's not a whole lot to talk about, especially Bucks related. So we're going to get into it though, and we've got a great show ahead of us. And we got some cool stuff to talk about, quarterback battles, and then we'll get into some Bucks specific content, some favorite moves of the off season, and maybe some players to prove. I don't know. We'll get into it, but I can't go any further without introducing my wonderful co-host, Mr. Zach Blaine. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. I missed you. And then my birthday and all that good stuff. It's been hectic, brother.
Yeah, it's been a crazy time of year. The summer is it's long, man. But I'm excited to get into this stuff because we're starting with quarterback battles around the NFL, and there are some interesting ones. I think we're going to have some really good conversation here because I think we might disagree, which is a good thing. Like I'm hoping for that because I want to have an actual conversation about this type of stuff. So we'll start with a team that I think is probably the least interesting in terms of like they have the potential to go like maybe like 2-15. Like this is a really bad team, but the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm going to go with who I think should start and who I think will actually start. Who I think should start is Carson Beck. I think they just got to pull the trigger on that and just see what they have. This is such a hopeless team. This is such a bad team that you might as well just see if Carson Beck can replicate some of the weird magic he had at Georgia and Miami. Even though he wasn't really amazing at either of those spots, but they managed to win some football games. So, you know, might as well see if he can do that same thing. Who will probably win this battle is probably Jacoby Brissett. He's the veteran, although I think he might, I don't remember if he's still holding out, but at one point he was holding out for a bigger deal because it's weird. But regardless, that's kind of my two cents on it. Zach, what are your thoughts on the Cardinals quarterback situation here?
So I think I'm a little bit higher on the Cardinals than you are.
Okay.
They're not going to go win a Super Bowl this year. Like don't twist it. I think that if we're bringing it down into who should and who will, I do think that this is still Jacoby's team. There's a reason they picked Carson Beck was a third rounder or a fourth rounder, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Not a super high draft pick at all.
Yeah, those guys are not guaranteed a starting spot like a first round guy is. I think that Jacoby Brissett should win it, and I think he will win it. I think he is a better quarterback than Carson Beck right now. I think Carson Beck still has some development to do. I do think he'll end up taking over eventually, probably in this season. But from the last I heard, Jacoby Brissett was practicing and they're making productive talks on a contract. So I think this is still Jacoby's team. I could see him there for another year or two if he plays well. He didn't play bad when he was there last season.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but with the team around him, I mean, you can only do so much.
Yeah. I mean, Marvin Harrison's, pretty good. Michael Wilson is better. Jordan Love Jeremiah Love. Yeah. Jeremiah Love should be really fun, but man, their offensive line is really bad. And like Trey McBride is cool. You know, they've got a fun offense. It's just their division is also brutal. Like they're playing six games against the 49ers, Seahawks, and Rams. All three of those teams are not only better than the Cardinals, but I think there's a pretty wide gap between all three of those teams and the Cardinals. So that's like 0-6 right there, kind of right off the bat in my mind. And then you get the rest of their schedule. So it's tough, man. I don't know what to make of them, but Carson Beck versus Jacoby Brissett. It should be interesting. You know, I don't know how interesting, but that little storyline should be kind of, maybe a fun one. But speaking of the Cardinals, obviously they had Kyler Murray for the longest time, and now he's in Minnesota. So it's the battle is sort of between him and JJ McCarthy. I don't know. I was real 50-50 on both of these, like for who should and who will. I could very much see an argument for giving Kyler a shot, and I don't necessarily disagree. But man, having to just like essentially flush a first round pick, it's tough. Like, I know that JJ looked awful last year. Like, he was not good, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But man, to just like essentially punt on a first round pick only 3 years in, it's tough, you know, like it's brutal. Cause if they don't start him this year, I think he doesn't come back from that. Like I think that's it. Like that's kind of the end of the JJ McCarthy era in Minnesota. And maybe it should be. Like, I'm not saying that he's going to turn it around or anything, but, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on both of these. If I had to, I guess maybe I would start Kyler Murray just because you don't want to waste another year of prime Justin Jefferson, like from a nostalgic and personal standpoint. I don't want to see Justin Jefferson have to have JJ McCarthy be his quarterback for another season. But I don't know, Zach, where do you land on this?
I'm the opposite of you.
Okay.
I loved Justin Jefferson up until this season. Mostly because I don't think as a part of a team, you should ever trash talk your team. And he,
a very good point. It's a very good shot.
Certainly did. Which, yeah, cannot he's been be weird. Good on the confidence of your. He wasn't a rookie last year, but he was a rookie last year. He didn't play in all his first season due to injury. I don't think you can punt on a rookie quarterback after year one.
Yeah.
And I granted, again, I know that it was year two, but like,
no,
I actually get playing in the NFL, last year was his first year. Yeah. I don't think that it's fair to the front office or the player to go, hey, you know, you had one bad season, you're done. Because a lot of players don't come out and just like Caleb Williams. That's the Bears quarterback, right?
Yes, Caleb Williams.
I don't like him either. But he didn't have a great first year and then came out and looked really, really good last year.
Yeah.
Do I think JJ McCarthy is that level? I don't know. But it's hard to judge him off of one season of football and one season of respectfully not a great team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard because the Sam Darnold the previous season leading them to the playoffs, but then Sam Darnold turning around and winning a Super Bowl.
Won a Super Bowl with Seattle. Yeah, right. So it's like,
yeah, so it's, yeah, it's hard to balance those things because.
But they also had Jordan Addison all season when Sam Darnold was there.
Right. And
Jordan Addison was hurt.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult thing, and I think JJ McCarthy did not do himself a whole lot of favors with the weird nine thing off the field. Like, if he wasn't so cringe and if he wasn't on the Michigan team that was clouded with controversy because of the sign stealing stuff, I think he would be a more likable and maybe more sympathetic figure instead of like, it's kind of easy to like, he's become a meme, you know, like that whole just photoshopping someone's head onto JJ McCarthy's body to portray that he's washed. Like, that's brutal. You know, like that's a brutal.
And that's, I think that's the issue in today's day and age of sports is everyone wants immediate results. Right.
Immediate gratification. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. There you go. And no one will wait for it. For sure. I don't think that it's fair to give up on him. So I think JJ should win it.
Yeah.
I think Kyler will win it because Kyler is the more exciting player.
Yeah.
I don't think Kyler is going to win them any more games than JJ will. I don't think Kyler is a good quarterback. I think that's been proven. So if I'm the head coach or the front office, I want JJ to start because I think JJ has more upside than Kyler. We kind of know what Kyler is.
Sure.
Like, you have a decent quarterback who's mobile. Mm-hmm. I think JJ McCarthy could be a good quarterback that's maybe not as mobile, you know?
Yeah.
I think you get flashier plays out of Murray and you get safer plays out of JJ. So I don't know. It's kind of a hard one to pick, but I think Kyler will win it. JJ should win it. And I would pick JJ to start.
Interesting. Yeah. I think I might. I don't know. I genuinely don't know where I come down on either of those. I hate to sit on a fence with one. But
it's a hard one because you're not – I genuinely think this is a 8-win team max with either quarterback. And that's max.
And they're, an, and they're in probably the best division in football. So exactly. Like they're the worst team in it. They're kind of the Cardinals of the NFC North. And yeah, I don't know.
I don't think either one you pick, it's not going to make you a playoff team.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
You need a lot of help, and it's I don't see it coming. So yeah. if it's me, hell, if you think JJ's the worst quarterback, I almost go with him for a better draft pick.
Yeah, it's tough though, because man, then that's another year of. And I know we were just talking about how Justin Jefferson has done a horrible job off the field with like his relationship with JJ McCarthy. Very weird. Like I'm with you. It's very strange to just publicly kind of slam a teammate like that. I do not get it at all. But he is great. Like he is like another all-time great Minnesota Vikings wide receiver type of thing. And if they have another crappy season, they probably have to trade him. Like I don't think he wants to stick around. And well, that,
unfortunately for him, it's going to be the same way with Kyler. Like that's right. I'm not comparing Marvin Harrison Jr. to JJ to Justin Jefferson in any like skill level wise, but everyone thought Marvin Harrison was going to be the next Justin Jefferson. Right. Like coming out, they thought he was going to be a stud right away. Well, guess who was throwing him the ball?
Yeah, Kyler Murray. For sure. Yeah.
So it's like, I think you're going to see a lot of the same issues from JJ with Kyler, except more fun plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard because, like, when Kyler Murray was throwing to like prime DeAndre Hopkins, like the Cardinals teams weren't great, but those offenses were really fun, you know. So, but I don't know if that Kyler Murray's in the cards moving forward, because that was genuinely a different time. He's gone through injuries. He's older. Like he's definitely not that Kyler Murray, because a lot of his games was very reliant on athletic ability. Like he was not, you know, he was not Russell Wilson, who was, you know, super accurate and, you know, also had the escapability. Like he had the escapability and a rocket arm, but you know, like,
and on the bright side, I don't think a new Call of Duty is coming out this season.
Yeah, fair enough, I suppose. Although those two Black Ops re-releases,
he's done for. He doesn't even know the Minnesota playbook yet.
Yeah, so we'll see. But they're both so easy to clown on for different reasons. JJ McCarthy and Kyler Murray, they're certainly a match made in heaven for sure. But anyway, speaking of another. Although I shouldn't compare this next duo to.
We're not comparing the player, just the situation.
Yes. And I'm not even, maybe not even the situation either, but we're talking about the Cleveland Browns next. And my golly, the Minnesota Vikings, at least I could see a world where maybe they're an 8-win team. I can't say the same for the Cleveland Browns, especially with these two quarterbacks. They're both awful options. Like they're both really, really bad. And I love their draft, but they have such a gaping hole of void of talent at the quarterback position. They're really kind of screwed either way. I would maybe start Shadur just because he's younger and maybe there's a slight chance that he figures it out, but who cares? You know, like he's not going to. And, you know, you put Deshaun Watson out there, then he'll just either get hurt again or I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I would do here. I'm split in a way more negative way for the Cleveland Browns, because I at least can sort of see a world where JJ McCarthy or Kyler Murray have a good season for Minnesota. I do not see a world where either of these quarterbacks have any semblance of a productive season for the Cleveland Browns. But maybe you're more optimistic than I am, Zach, but I have a feeling. Yeah.
Hard to be optimistic about the Browns. No, I genuinely think you have three quarterbacks there. I know you only mentioned Sanders and
Kenny Pickett.
Gabriel.
Yes.
Who was a higher draft pick than Shedeur Sanders.
And he is also awful. He is so bad.
I don't think he got a fair shot. I really don't. Genuinely. I think he was not great. I'm not
saying that.
But I think out of the three, you, again, saw what Sanders can do. Did not play good. Did not look good. Right. I don't think he had a flashy moment that I saw where I was like, this is a good – and again, this goes back to the draft last season.
Yeah,
I was
There was a lot of weird stuff.
I was never high on Sanders. I don't think he's a good quarterback. If Watson was a better person, allegedly a better person. I would be very high on him. I think he can come back. But I, morally, it's hard for me to morally go, he should be their starter.
I will say, even just setting aside the off-the-field stuff, he has been through multiple, like, Achilles-like level injuries.
Correct.
And he had athleticism was very much a big part of his game in his prime when he was a really, really great quarterback for the Houston Texans. And that's just not I that's don't not
there anymore. No, he's gonna have to be a pocket passer.
Yeah, and I don't think there's also just like the weird like grossness surrounding him with the off the field stuff that just makes his aura and vibe and whatever work, you know, buzzword you want to use, it's just rancid, you know, like it's hard to. It's I don't know, man. I'm with you. Like,
tricky for me because I so badly want to say Watson, mostly because of the money.
Yeah, they are paying him a lot of money.
They are paying him a stupid amount of money.
Yeah.
So, from a front office standpoint, I'm starting Deshaun Watson no matter what. Like, he's our starter. If he's healthy, he's our starter.
That seems to be the news coming out of.
Yeah. So I think who should win it? I think should win it is Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders.
Because
they stay out of trouble. They've not gotten into trouble. They've stayed clean and they look, I mean, they're draft picks. If I'm going in draft pick order, I think Gabriel should win it. Shedeur should be the backup and then Watson should be cut.
Yeah.
Who do I think will win it? Deshaun Watson, because they're paying him way too much money to back up two guys who at best are probably mid. I don't even know if I'd put them in the middle of the road. I think at best you're looking at two bottom third of the league quarterbacks.
They're backups at best in my mind.
Exactly. Like
they're probably out of the league in a few years if we're being completely
that's,
honest.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
And I would love to see both of them go to a different system. Like, I would love to see Dillon Gabriel go play somewhere. Shit, bring him to Tampa behind Baker. Let him back up Baker.
I don't
know that I want him.
But yeah, I was going to say, I'm much lower on Dillon Gabriel than I am.
I'm not high on him. I want that very well known. I was higher on him in the draft than I think a lot of people. And watching him play, I've cooled down on him a lot.
Yeah.
But I would like for him to go somewhere, him and Shedeur, somewhere that develops quarterbacks.
It's hard because you get that stench on you as a player in general, but especially as a quarterback, where if you go out and have failures, it's hard to shake that. And you also develop bad habits. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to escape like the, oh, I have to do it all mentality when you're on a bad team. Or if you have a bad offensive line, like you get happy feet or whatever the bad habits specifically are, they get developed in losing and it's hard to shake that kind of thing. I know the retread or the Phoenix quarterbacks have kind of become popular with Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. I mean, the Bucs have kind of one of the prime examples of that, but Shedeur Sanders and Dillon Gabriel were not first round picks. You know, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, all these guys are first round picks, like former first round picks. They have that label attached to them and the talent is there. Like, I don't know that the talent is there with Dillon Gabriel and same thing with Shedeur Sanders. I don't know, man. I think
that's the part that kills me is Dillon Gabriel started 6 games, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but then like his QB rating was 31.4. Like how I guess I struggle to see where those are coming into effect. And I want to check Shador's real quick because I've not looked into him.
It might be because his Dillon Gabriel's completion percentage, I remember being very low. His yardage was pretty bad. Like their offense was
937 yards in 6 games.
That's not even 200 yards a game. That's not going to get it done. Yeah, that's
exactly. But that also is a part of that team was god awful.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All the way around.
Yeah.
Shedeur, 8 games, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns. 10 interceptions.
Both of them really bad. Like both of those stat lines. Really, really bad.
QBR of 18.9.
Yeah, really bad. Like they're both really bad. There's no other way to put it. And Dillon Gabriel like has like Shedeur Sanders had the background of like having a super high completion percentage in college, whatever stock you want to put into a Big 12 quarterback, having those kind of numbers, whatever. Dylan Gabriel was good at Oklahoma, good at Oregon, but like not earth shatteringly so. And he certainly doesn't have like arm talent. He's not super athletic. Like same with Shedeur. Shedeur does not have the athleticism or the arm talent to really be outstanding.
Gabriel actually had a better QB or a better completion percentage than Shedeur Sanders last year.
Man, that's depressing. Yeah.
Shedeur was 56.6. Dylan Gabriel's was 59.9.
Oh my God! They're both under 60% though. That's crazy. They are
both under 60%.
Wow, that's hilarious. Yeah, I'm glad we're doing this because this puts into context just how bad they both are. Yeah, I don't know, man. They're both atrocious. You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. And Deshaun Watson is probably who's going to start, and he might be worse than both of them. So, go Browns. Sorry, Cleveland. Now we're taking a tour of the AFC North here. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers is kind of the final team that I wanted to finish up on. And this one's probably the most most kind of set in stone, if you will. Because, you know, they hired Mike McCarthy and they've got Aaron Rodgers and they drafted Drew Aller. And I would start Drew Aller just because why not? But I know that's not going to happen. So, you know, Rodgers is probably going to start and that's fine. But do you have any interesting thoughts or takes on the Steelers quarterback situation? Well,
we're also – you got Mason Rudolph there too, who when he's had to play, he's not been God – he's not been Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel bad. He's not been good, but he's not been bad.
He's been close, though. He's been close to being that bad. He's not good.
But I do think it goes to Aaron Rodgers, which I can't stand that man as a player.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate this battle because it's not really a battle.
Like, yeah, it's not. That, I included this kind of just because I wanted to shout out Drew Aller, not because I think he's good, but because I think he deserves to start over Aaron Rodgers. They even have that Will Howard fella from Ohio State that they drafted.
That was the other one I meant to say with Mason was Will Howard. And you're almost getting into a Cleveland situation where, like, Aaron Rodgers wasn't great, but like you're not going to put anyone else in over him,
especially after hiring McCarthy. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Aaron Rodgers leaves, now you've got Howard, Aller, and Rudolph. Rudolph is not really in that conversation. Like Rudolph is just there as the veteran backup at this point. Now you've got Rudolph, or you got Howard and Aller. Who are you going to start then? Are you going to draft another quarterback and go to a first round guy over two guys that have learned your system for two to three years now?
Right.
I think this is going to be a better conversation next season.
Sure.
Because – or, I mean, you could even do it this way. Who do you think should be the backup? Because –
that's a good question.
If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, who do you put in? I think probably has the most potential, so I fully agree with you there. Like, I'd make him the backup that way. He gets the experience, but Will Howard also did really good things at Ohio State.
Yeah, no, I could certainly go either way with both of them. I went with Aller because they drafted him, like, I think he was a third round pick for them, or am I misremembering? He might have been a fifth rounder instead. But
I think Will Howard was later, and then Drew Aller was a
third rounder because Will Howard's in his second season coming into it.
Yes, this will be Will Howard's second season. He was a rookie last year.
Yeah, and Aller had. Before he got hurt at Penn State, he was like talked about as potentially a first round pick for a little bit there, which is kind of part of the reason why I'm so high on him. I do think that there's there's an overall talent there with his, like, he's got a really good arm and he's pretty athletic for a guy his size. I'm not like saying that he's going to be good, but I just think of those quarterbacks, he has the most talent and the most potential. And I don't know, the Steelers aren't an awful team. Like, he could maybe step in and let the defense kind of cook. And, you know, McCarthy's not he's not a good coach, but I guess he can kind of coach up an offense. But even at this point of his career, I don't know. So it's tough. The Steelers are in a brutal spot. They've kind of set things up for Aaron Rodgers to pretty much be the starter no matter what. And that's a tough position to put yourself in with a guy at his age. And, like, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been good for a few years now. Like, after he left Green Bay, he wasn't good with the Jets. He wasn't good last year. So yeah, I don't know what to say about it. But we'll see. You know, the Steelers are kind of an interesting spot because they'll probably end up third in that division because the Browns will be fourth. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's not a great spot to be in for the Pittsburgh Steelers because they're probably going to have just to spend another first-round pick on a quarterback next year. But they're going to have to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback next year more than likely than not. But regardless, we'll see how it goes. If you're looking to spend a first-round pick on your wardrobe, though, head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got you covered for everything Tampa Bay sports gear related. We'll give you a promo code. That's Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. That's 10% off your entire order. Type that bad boy in and you'll get a little bit of a discount on your merch. We've got you covered for Rays, Bucks, Lightning, and Rowdies. All right, we're going to the second half of the episode and we're going to be talking about the Bucks finally because, hey, we've talked enough about the NFL at large. We're kind of nearing the end of the offseason. Like my sort of benchmarks for the offseason is when college football comes out. So when that video game releases, I'm like, oh, okay, the offseason's almost over. Kind of silly and stupid, but yeah, we're almost there. By the way, college football video game, man.
Fire.
Really? I was going the opposite direction. I have not played it very much at all.
Oh, I play it every single day.
That's awesome. I'll have to give it another try because I have been, like, I've got this new job and I've been working a lot more than I used to. So that probably has something to do with it.
This is going to sound like, I know we're about to talk Bucks. You need to get into an online dynasty. Get really? A group of guys that play it. I've got two. I play in one. Like, the one I have, we've been going since 20. The first one, what was it, 25? We've been going 32 of us strong. We switch off some people here and there.
Wow, okay,
and cool. We've been going for three games now. We're in the first season of this one. Dude, we've got a YouTube channel now. Like, they do highlights every week. It makes it so much more immersive, bro. I'm telling you, it's great.
Very cool. Yeah, I was just bummed because at first they came out with a microtransactions within the one player game, and that disgusted me. That made me not want to ever play that game again. And I know that they've rectified it. They've turned it around and been like, no, we're not going to do that, which I guess good for them. They succumbed to peer pressure. But the game's already on sale, which is kind of hilarious for like the 24th of July. But
yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
pissed me off because I pre-ordered it for full price. But
me too. Yeah, but what are you gonna do? Anyways, this is a Bucks podcast, not a college football video game podcast. But anyways, so all that to say, we can kind of take a look back at the Bucks offseason, and I wanted to get your favorite Bucks transaction. It can be a draft pick. It can be a signing. They didn't make any trades, so we can't say that. But maybe it's letting someone go. Like, if you want to go negative, I don't know. But did you have a favorite Bucks transaction from this offseason?
Yeah, not re-signing this guy.
Oh, breaking my heart. Oh, goodness.
No. Honestly, my favorite transaction was the Kenny Gainwell. No disrespect to Rashad White. Funny, this is a gag gift from my dad. It's a real autographed Rashad White jersey, but he knows that he was not my favorite player on the Bucks team. But I still hang it up because I love my dad.
There you go.
But the Kenny Gainwell signing, I think, is my favorite signing because I do think he's more impactful than Rashad White was. I think he's got more of a well-rounded game. I think he's a better runner than Rashad White was, and I think he's a better – maybe not a better receiver, but just as good as a receiver as White was. I think he gives us a better chance to succeed, God forbid, Bucky get hurt again.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything about him being a better runner and everything too, and his acumen in the receiving game is probably as good as Rashad White's. He was really good for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year in that role. I will say Rashad White did a lot of little things with pass protection that might take a little bit of a step down, but you know, how much should that be valued? I'm not necessarily going to make that judgment. And it's definitely an interesting signing. It wasn't necessarily my favorite because they paid him kind of a lot for a backup running back when, you know, if all things go well and Bucky Irving's playing well, then Kenneth Gainwell hopefully is just an RB2. And then
RB2 in Tampa, you saw Rashad White still get production as an
RB2. Yeah, for sure. That's a good point.
I mean, most places I would agree with you. I'd be like, that's insane. Outside of Detroit and Tampa, those are the two places that I go, okay, those two have two running backs that they give legitimate attempts to.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it'll be fascinating to see, because I don't know. I viewed it as like, well, they could have probably gotten someone maybe not as good as Kenneth Gainwell, but like they could have gotten a slightly worse production for much less in terms of like a day three pick or maybe like an undrafted free agent. But because then they brought back Sean Tucker too, who I also like. Like, this isn't me hating on Gainwell or Tucker. I just think that paying your running back room, your two backup running backs, $10 million combined is just an interesting way to devote your resources, shall we say.
That's fair. That's a fair take.
But, you know, we'll see. And Kenneth Gainwell could have a great season, and I would be very excited. Like, it's not anti-Kenneth Gainwell. It's more anti in the context of the other moves and the contract that they gave him. But
yeah, it's more like anti-running back.
Maybe. But I don't know, though, because I'm – yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that's okay. But regardless, I think my favorite transaction, because the easy one would be to say Reuben Bain. But
that's why I avoided that one.
Yeah, no, I feel you. My favorite was actually their drafting of Ted Hurst. No, I'm just kidding. No, my favorite was probably
Mike Carter.
My favorite was probably the Alex Anzalone signing. I think he's going to be outstanding. And I know that the Jeremiah Trotter's pick, or Josiah Trotter, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of his dad. The Josiah Trotter pick has been much malauded and not super well received because of his struggles in pass coverage. And I don't necessarily disagree. We talked about that on our draft episodes, about our concerns about his pass coverage ability and how it's kind of like, well, are they just drafting another like Servasié Dennis or KJ Britt type? And that is certainly a risk, but I do think that his upside in the run is pretty huge. And Alex Anzalone being so good in pass coverage kind of mitigates my concerns a little bit. I know, again, not enough. I'm not justifying the pick. I'm not defending the pick. But Alex Anzalone is a very exciting player, I think, for this Bucs team, because it just upgrades a huge position of need that has been kind of bad for a few years now. And, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think he's going to just do some really, really interesting things for the Bucks in that defense. And hopefully he stays healthy, because, man, he could be a really, really big part of this defense for 2026. So, yeah, those are our two favorite Bucks transactions. Any other ones that you wanted to shout out or any other moves that you liked?
I mean, we had a relatively quiet offseason. Like,
yeah, it wasn't any big, massive.
We signed people, but nothing big. Anzalone was great. Keontae Scott, I think, could be a really good pickup. Not getting Jacob Rodriguez was my least favorite moment in the whole offseason. I really hated the Trotter pick, so like I'm not high on that at all.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're really bad at coverage at linebacker. Let's pick someone who has issues covering at linebacker. That's the way to fix our bad coverage at linebacker.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah,
he is great in run defense. Flowers where they're due. Like, good for you. Like, you are a great run defender, but we don't need that. We need pass defense, or we need pass pro.
Yeah, I do hope he's. I do hope we're wrong about him, though, because, man, it would be cool. Because like I loved Jeremiah Trotter, like, you know, playing with him in NFL Street. I know I've said that before, but it would be so cool to have, like, his son be another really good NFL linebacker, because his dad was great. Like, it would be a cool story.
Brother as well?
I don't know if he got drafted. I think he got drafted last year,
didn't he?
Yeah, he got drafted last year out of Clemson. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
It was Jeremiah.
I think it was Jeremiah Trotter Jr. maybe.
Yeah. And then Josiah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that'd be cool, you know, because Jeremiah didn't have the best rookie season. Like, he didn't get a whole lot of playing time because Philly's linebacker room, like Jahi Campbell and Zach Bond, like that's a tough room to fit into. But yeah, it would be cool for Josiah to make it, even though, like, you know, these are very valid concerns. Like, he is not a perfect prospect by any means. He's not a perfect player. So he has a fair amount to prove, but hey, you know, crazier things have happened. He could prove us wrong, and who knows? Maybe he'll be better than we expect. You know, that's the hope, obviously. But yeah, we'll see. And so, speaking of that might be your answer, but I did want to ask you had a Bucs player in mind going into this season that had the most to prove. This can be on either side of the ball. A guy that maybe coming in you think of as having pretty low expectations. Josiah Trotter might be a tough pick because he's a rookie. So, like, he's not going to get cut if he has a bad first season. Like, that's just not how it works. But if there's a guy maybe on the team that you think has the most to prove to folks or to the Bucks or to get a good contract, who's the player that comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can think of a few. Right off the rip, Emeka Egbuka.
Okay.
He had a lot of drop problems last year.
Yeah, and a lot of separation problems.
Frankly, yeah, too. So
like, he was not great.
Started off really hot.
Oh yeah.
Like even I, because when we picked him initially in the first round, I was not very high about it. And I, watching him the first few games of the season, I was like, okay, I see why we did it. Looks great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It made me question why he was never like wide receiver one at Ohio State. And then we lost Mike Evans to injury. And then once we lost Mike Evans to injury, it made me realize why he was never wide receiver one at Ohio State. It was not pretty after we lost Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a lot to prove this season. I don't think he's at risk of getting cut or anything crazy
Of course. Like, he's not
really bubble watch.
Yeah.
But he's going to have a lot. I'm assuming there are more people that think like me in terms of he's got a lot to do to prove to us that he was worth a first round pick still. If he can replicate the first 6 weeks of the season and put that over a full season, I'm with it. Like, he was great.
If he does that, he's probably a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But then you've got Tez Johnson coming in and playing in like 7 games and putting up the same numbers. Like, not actually the same. You get my point, though. I think they were tied for touchdowns at the end of the year.
Sure. Yeah, it wasn't a great first season, especially because, like you said, Mike Evans went down. So there was not the, oh, he's fighting for targets. Oh, his target share is going to be super low. There was not that issue.
If anything, it should have bumped your numbers.
Yeah, and he really struggled in after Mike Evans went down, like you said. And, you know, there were a lot of mitigating factors. Like, Baker was a little banged up. You know, the offensive line was
– wrecked.
Yes. So, you know, you can absolutely kind of come up with some excuses for him. But at the same time, the drops were bad. And the separation was not great. Like, it was not good. Like, it was a problem. Yeah, it was a problem. So I agree. He's definitely a guy that I think of. I think Kalijah Kancey might be the number one name for me, even if it's just him staying healthy. Like, yeah, I don't know. He's good when he's healthy, but I don't know what's going to happen with him because I think they picked up his fifth year option, which I thought was the right move, but. In terms of getting that next contract, you know, he'll get re-signed because he's a first round pick. And like I said, he's good when he's healthy, but in terms of getting like a big contract, like a fun, hey, this is a really good interior defensive lineman contract. He's not there. He could have a great season. So it's certainly possible, but Kalijah Kancey is probably a big name that comes to mind for me. Cody Mauch bouncing back after the injury, because he's on an expiring deal, and he looked like he was primed and ready to have another great season and earn himself a pretty massive payday. So he's very much like one that could. I'm very confident that Cody Mauch can prove that he's worthy of being one of the more higher paid interior offensive linemen in the NFL. But he's still got to do it. You know, he's got something to prove because that injury was gnarly. Like, that's not something that you can just kind of set aside. So I think those were the two names that came to my head first. Was there anyone else that you thought of?
Yeah, I've got two on the defensive side of things. I think Zion McCollum.
Okay. Yeah.
And Benjamin Morrison.
Yeah, sure.
Zion McCollum played like trash last season.
Yeah, he was not great.
We gave him this great contract, and then he comes out and does not look like we should have even re-signed him, let alone given him a pay raise.
He got significantly outplayed by Jamel Dean, which is not
– Exactly. We should have docked his pay after last season. And then Benjamin Morrison, I know he was injured for the start of training camp, and like there's excuses for him, but – he was such a Jekyll and Hyde type of player last season. Like, one game you'd see him, he'd be paired up against the best wide receiver on their team and look great. And then he's getting blown by in coverage by wide receiver 4. So I think they both need to step up this year with Dean gone. I think that they'll both be starting with Parrish at the slot. That's my prediction. Obviously, I could be way off. Okay. And I think that they both have something to prove this year. So I wouldn't be shocked to see it be like a make or break year for McCollum. And honestly, if Morrison doesn't play well, I wouldn't be shocked to see us taking a corner very early next season to play outside corner.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what they do with Parrish. I think that'll be an interesting – he doesn't have anything to prove because he was really good in the slot last year, but they might experiment with him coming outside with that draft pick of Scott. Excuse me, because I think Scott – there's no way he plays outside. He's very much a nickel, and that's okay because there, you know, maybe there's a world where both him and Parrish are out there because they kick Parrish outside, or maybe they have him in a dime look where they have them both in the nickel. And I think there's a lot of versatility there. They could have, you know, it's just this is probably the not the deepest the cornerback room has been in a while, because I think it was pretty deep last year, but this year they feel. They still have a little bit – like there were years where that Bryce Breece, who I can't ever keep them straight.
Bryce Hall
was their third-string cornerback, you know, and that's not the case this year.
And that's where I'm still scared. Like I still think Tampa needs to sign a veteran corner.
Yeah.
Because Zion McCollum is their veteran corner right now.
Right. Yeah.
It's like that is your vet. You've got two guys that are on year two. Keyonte Scott is on year – one now, he'll be a rookie, mm-hmm. and then you was a Killebrew is a safety. Lost Christian Isian. Like those are the only corners I know on the team,
yeah.
So let's say Zion McCollum goes down, then you're rocking 2 second year guys and a rookie on your defensive as your defensive backs as your corners. I know you still have Winfield and stuff.
Sure, no, but I get what you're saying, though. It's not ideal.
So I think that – and then if you have Parrish going to the outside, Keyonte Scott dropping down, that means you're giving up on Morrison or McCollum right away.
Right. Which maybe that's what they have to do. Maybe that's what they end up having to do, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. There are a lot of players that have kind of a lot at stake, both for themselves, both for the Bucks, and – you know, for their paydays, you know what I mean? Cause they could go out and if they have another stinker of a season or whatnot, then they could, you know, they could get themselves out of a nice little paycheck. So yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to keep an eye on those guys. But real quick before we go, this is kind of the last question I had for us. Is there a guy that you're looking at as sort of an underrated, fun kind of maybe dark horse kind of guy, like a guy who people are probably overlooking and maybe rightfully so, but you were kind of rooting for him. Is there a guy that you think of that's kind of like that?
For Tampa?
Yeah. For Tampa
specifically. Yeah. Again, we didn't really do much. Like, I don't think anyone, I don't mean that in a hateful way towards Tampa. There wasn't much for us to do, but I genuinely just, there's no one that I think is going under the radar right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think, I mean, he was my favorite draft pick, so I'm going to go with Capehart, like out of Clemson. He was so much.
Okay, that's fair. I am excited for him. I agree with you wholeheartedly there.
Because he could be, like, really fun, and I don't know about good, but he's, like, just so athletic. Like, he could be a really, really fun addition to that interior defensive line. So he's probably, like a you know, unbiased type of favorite kind of guy. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. There's some other – I'm trying to think of some other – I mean, Tez Johnson's kind of a fun guy to root for because he's so undersized.
Yeah, but I think what he did last year –
yeah,
I
don't makes him
– that was where my difficulty with that question comes from, because, like, if Tez Johnson comes out and performs well and has another 6 to 8 touchdowns, you're like, all right, that's not under the radar. That's what he did last year.
Right, yeah.
I would love to see him have a more permanent role, if that makes sense, because like last year he was just in because we had so many injuries.
Yeah, he's more of a gadget guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tez Johnson could be such a good receiver.
And he could be really fun.
I hope that he gets a shot to actually be that. I don't want it to be another Scotty Miller situation where like he flashes for half a season and then we never really hear from him or see from him again. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the good news is he'll be wide receiver 4 in my mind, or maybe wide receiver five, I guess, because maybe Ted Hurst did, but he's got a shot to win the wide receiver four spot. And injury, I mean, like Chris Godwin's technically wide receiver two, but he's going to get banged up. Like, that's just going to happen. And Jalen McMillan. What's that?
I'm shocked we haven't traded him yet.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. But
disrespect to Godwin, but geez, our wide receiver room is deep enough now.
They could have used an extra draft pick or two, but it is what it is. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for the Bucs wide receiver room, and there's some guys to root for on both sides of the ball. I'm trying to think if there are any other offensive players that maybe Tez Johnson was kind of fun, but you know, he's kind of a known commodity at this point. I feel like the gimmicky aspect of his game, him being so small, kind of too much attention for him to be truly underrated. But anyways, we're getting into semantics here. Regardless, hope you all enjoyed our show. Hope you enjoyed us bantering about the Bucks and about NFL at large. We'll be back. We'll be back next week or whenever. We'll see.
No, it'll be next week. We're making it happen. I'm back on day shift now. We're good to go.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, regardless, give us a like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. You can also give us a follow on your way out at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports on most, if not all, most major social media platforms. For Mr. Zach Blaine, our super producer, Eureka Wheeler, and I am Carter Brantley. This is RBLR Bucks. And until next time, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.